What's up, everybody? Microtrovic here. Welcome back to the Microtrovic Podcast, where together we are going to grow in mind, body, spirit, and mushroom. Today, I have a special guest for you. A lot of you guys know him from Instagram and his products. I was introduced to him and knew you probably around the 2020 time, back when you started. We both kind of were in the same space beginning at the same time. The Big Steppa. I'm trying to think of what other names people might know you by, but mostly everybody knows him as Feng Shui. This is Jason Quinn. You established your business in 2020. You've been rocking ever since, and I personally enjoy your content just from an entertainment standpoint. So thanks for coming on the show today, man. Appreciate you. How are you?
Thanks for having me on the show, bro. I'm doing well, man. Doing well. Still out there stepping, pumping out the grains, pumping out the substrate, you know. Same old, just a different day.
I feel that the grind never stops. It just kind of changes a little bit. Really quickly, Jason, can you kind of just introduce yourself and give everybody kind of like a snapshot of your entry into the mycology space, how it all started for you, and then what was your transition into providing products for and then creating your own community?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, how did I get into mycology? I was living in New York at the time, and I just honestly wanted to, I couldn't find any mushrooms. So I was just thinking, like, how do people grow these? You know, where do they come from? And from there, found a few Reddit articles, then went to Shroomery, and just researched for probably like 6 months to a year before even, you know, doing my first grow.
Yeah.
And kind of just got hooked from there, fell down the rabbit hole. And mycology became my whole entire life, you know. Any spare time I had as far as like for any hobbies, it just kind of went into mycology. Made a bunch of friends, including yourself, as we know. It all, you know, Basidium Equilibria, you know, Blue Cat, all of those guys. A lot of the you know, I guess the leading names in mycology today. We just traded off ideas, traded off genetics. It was this whole little community of people who just were really, you know, arguably obsessed with this, this science. And, you know, from there, just helped people learn, taught people how to make grains, make substrate. So much so that I just thought, well, why not try to sell them, you know, some grains and substrate? Because some people didn't have the ability to make them. Some people didn't have the time. Some just didn't know how to do it and they wanted to get a grow going. And yeah, I just sold my first bag of substrate after sending out like a couple hundred pounds for free just to different friends to use. And, you know, it just snowballed into what it is today. This pretty sweet brand in the mycology community where I get to, you know, do stuff that I love and that I'm passionate about and, you know, supply people with knowledge and information and, you know, products to get all kinds of grows going. For fungus, plants, you know, vegetables, you name it. And that's about it. That's the story. I just wanted to grow. I just wanted some mushrooms. Couldn't find any, so I took it upon myself to grow them.
Yeah, I was one of those first free bags for sure. I remember getting your substrate, obviously, and
absolutely.
Yeah, man, ever since then, it's been quite a journey the last few years, and it's been really cool to see you expand in so many different ways. You're definitely a part of the Pepper Gang too. You inspired me to get back into the Pepper Gang.
You know, the Pepper Gang, it kind of slowed down a little bit within the past, yeah, you know, year, but I actually, it's funny that you mentioned it. I just whipped out my pepper seeds. Quite literally, like
Yeah,
they're
me
right
either.
here.
Yeah, dude.
And I had just, I was just talking to my buddy about getting some peppers growing because I bought like a bunch of seeds last year, didn't do anything with them, just had no time, and with business and everything, trying to create content, just there's only 24 hours in a day,
Yeah, and you're running a full-time business. So very much like me, there was a necessity for mushrooms. I couldn't find any, so I was like, I'm gonna learn how to grow them. And then I guess from there, you're just kind of sharing your process. A lot of people became interested in you, and then you saw a need in the market, a space where you could fill. And I mean, you're still pumping out orders. I mean, that's kind of like your daily. What does your daily look like now? Are you producing more grain or more fung straight?
I'd say it's pretty close to 50-50. I'd say a little bit more grain, merely because you need grain to really start the whole mycology process anyway. So that's just like the first step into getting going, right? Whereas like substrate, you'd already have to have a bag of mycelium, and then you get your grow going, however that may be, bag, tub, shoe.
Yeah. Yeah. Many techs out there. When you first started, what was some of your first tech? Were you a bag guy or a tub guy like most of us?
First tech was BRF cakes,
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah,
actually.
same, same. Yeah.
Yeah,
Now,
man.
did you go spore syringe or did you do liquid culture?
I went spore syringe. I had
Yeah.
a spore syringe from High Desert Spore.
Yeah,
It was
there you go.
just inoculated, like, I think it was like 12 BRF cakes from a Midwest grow kit.
Yep.
And, got the grow going. And, Don himself, he walked me through a lot of the processes in the beginning. Huge shout out to him for helping me out so much in the beginning. And then, yeah, from there I went to Tubbs. It just failed miserably.
I actually just I just went back
Just
to
trying
bags
to
myself.
learn. I'm sorry.
I just went back to bags myself.
I've been thinking about going to bags. I've never really done bag grows like that. I've done a couple in my whole my time in mycology, but I'd say I'm a firm believer in tub grows
Yeah, for sure.
still.
Awesome. So since I have you on here and I consider you like a subject matter expert, I'm interested from your point of view and some of the messages you get on the daily, on the weekly, and the monthly. So along with your products, you probably have a lot of questions. What are some of the most common questions people are asking you, whether it's about your product or just about the process in itself?
I'd say arguably the most common question I get is, where can I find spores?
Yeah.
Without a doubt, and just who, where can I go to learn, right? There's so many different outlets I feel I sent in as far as learning goes. Those are like the main two. A lot of the other questions are just, what ratios should I use for growing? There's also sometimes, what's got the best yield?
Yeah.
And that was, it's kind of a hard question to answer because there's so many different variables.
Right.
From what I get, it's just a lot of people want to know how to do it, where they can get the best products to do it, the best knowledge to do it. And yeah, I can say that's pretty much it. There's a lot of the same questions over and over again. Think you can only really go so into like in depth for answering a question for somebody who doesn't necessarily even know what they're doing yet, or
Yeah.
as far as like even somebody asking the questions, it's we've all learned through time. So you'll notice that like a lot of the questions we had when we were starting people will ask us now, and then so on and so forth, kind of going up the totem pole, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I started in the shroomery space too. I was mentioned how I used to get berated by, you know, for asking the most basic questions, and nobody would even tag me for, or like send me threads. It was like a mad dash to try to find, very much like you too. It took me quite some time to really get all the information and like actually like pull the trigger. And yeah, you get a couple grows in, you kind of figure it out. You start eating your own mushrooms, and then that kind of intuitively helps you to like learn the culture itself. And then from there, it's like you can really expand. And then getting a flow hood, I think, is a huge thing too, because it really opens you up to, you know, obviously sterility, but also like so many other options. I was going to ask you, what's some of the extent of like your scientific exploration, if you will? Like, what's the furthest you've gotten, or what are some of the things you focus on the most?
Well, I feel like as far as the scientific exploration, I've kind of just tried to explore all of the, you know, avenues for the most part. One I haven't really explored is cordyceps. Still haven't really gotten much into that, but you know, I'm not a scientist, you know, I don't even have a college degree. I kind of just learned this from like arguably the school of hard knocks. Right. Mm-hmm. So like my scientific exploration would be trying different grains, trying different, like, you know, hydration levels of the grains, different hours of like sterilizing, figuring out the whole pasteurization process, you know, going in depth of like pH levels of soil and stuff like that, because you don't want, you know, your substrate to be too nutritious, or, you know, too high of a pH. Realistically, I'm kind of just like going at it just day by day for the most part, trying to learn as much as I can from people who know, who are also learning. You know, just having fun for the most part, figuring this stuff out just like everybody else. And that's about it. My scientific exploration is just having fun in mycology. You know, getting a whole lot of trike farming, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right. I do see that you've made some leaps and bounds as far as your equipment. I think like most of us, we start off with like the Presto, and I was doing like bucket tech for substrate. I just saw that, I don't know when you got it, it's new to me, but I saw you loading up that big sterilizer. What is that thing?
Yeah, so that's a 150 liter autoclave. I also purchased that from High Desert.
Nice.
The homie. Yeah, and that's, it's pretty much just like a huge sterilizer. I can fit roughly like 53-pound grain bags in there per cycle. And, you know, you just set it to 15 PSI, set it for the time that you want it to cook, and then it just plug and play, press a button, and let it do its thing. I got that probably, I'd say maybe over a year ago.
Wow, and I just found out.
Yeah, you know, the pressure cookers ended up becoming way too much. You know, I started off with a 16-quart Miro, then I got another 16-quart Miro, like a 22-quart All-American. Then I bought, like, I think, you know, in time, after a while, I think I had 4 or 5 41-quart All-Americans.
Yep.
The sterilizers and the cookers, they're mixed, but it just became too much to be babysitting, you know, 4 or 5 of these gigantic pressure cookers under propane burners in my garage, you know, all day, every day. Just then you got to like pick them up while they're super hot, bang open the lid, seal the grain bags, and then put another load in. It, you know, while they definitely have their purpose and they've served me very well, the sterilizer or the autoclave is next level. It just made things so much easier to streamline rather than hauling around all these heavy, hot pieces of equipment.
I haven't really heard. Oh, go ahead. Were you done?
No, nope.
Oh, my bad. So yeah, I heard you mention like pH of your substrate. I've never really messed with it. I, of course, like the last time I was making substrate, I was doing Bucket Tech. And then from then I've been buying substrate from, you know, different companies on and off. What are some tips or tricks you can give everybody for kind of honing in their pH and things like that? Do you add certain like liquid chemicals? Do you add in certain like calciums or anything like that?
I kind of use like a little special slew of organic, pretty much, I guess, fertilizers and so on and so forth. Okay. I guess realistically, as far as pH is concerned, it's just the alkaline levels, right? So nutrients, you know, nitrogen, you know, you could use calcium, potassium, sulfur, stuff like that. Like pretty much using that, putting it in a certain ratio that isn't too high or too low. You can get pH readers on Amazon where you can stick it in your soil and it'll tell you the general, you know, pH of your soil as well. I'd say you want to keep it around, like, I try to keep it around 6 is my goal. And anything, I think more personally, it's almost like, how do I explain it? I guess like loading up too much spices in your food, you know, at some point it becomes redundant and isn't really helping out like the meal, right? It's just kind of becoming overpowering. So I'd say it's the same thing as far as your organic nutrients that you would put in your soil. You don't want to add too much because then it's just it's not really using everything, and then it could cause potential issues, I'd say, in the grow itself. Just from my own personal experience of messing around with all that stuff.
What kind of grain are you using these days? What's your preferred, and like what others have you tried?
Oh gosh, I've tried all of the grains. I use Milo now, red Milo. I'd say it's the best as far as just prepping. Still large enough to where it's not like millet where it just gets everywhere, you know. I mean, I've tried different kinds of oats, millet, wheat berries, Milo, birdseed. Gosh, I don't even know how many grains I've tried, to be honest. Preferably, I love millet, but the fact that it's just so small and working with it, like I'll wake up in the morning at like 3 a.m. and have like a piece of millet in my ear somehow or something like that. Yeah. Just gets everywhere.
Yeah, right. Definitely.
But yeah, Milo right now is the best grain to prep. Mycelium loves it. It's fairly forgiving. I've noticed with like oats, if you really overdo oats, then it just becomes like a sloppy mess. And so you get like, you know, cook them too much. Whereas like with Milo, if you cooked it a little too long, it'll still be fine. So yeah, I'd say Milo currently is my favorite. In a perfect world, it'd be millet though.
And you're over in Florida now, aren't you?
Yep.
You can basically grow. I was thinking when you had mentioned their pH was about like 6. I was like, that's perfect for cannabis, perfect for peppers. Do a lot of people order, or can they use your substrate also for plants as well?
You can absolutely use it for plants. As far as what people do with it, it's kind of like a don't ask, don't tell thing for me, you know. I just have orders and then I send out people the product that will work for them. Mm-hmm. I've had, you know, I've personally grown peppers with my soil, different eggplants, tomatoes, sweet potatoes, whole lot of, you know, plants, like plants, veggies, and I've tried some fruits, but it's just kind of a little hard. I'll get there one day though. I do know people who've grown cannabis with it, as well as, you know, all kinds of fungus, including even oyster mushrooms. They may not taste the greatest in comparison to like growing them in hardwood, but for the most part, when I am speaking to people about my business, they don't really know what it is. I just say I sell craft soil and sterilized grains.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, so you could grow anything in it. I feel like if not, no guarantees, but I mean, so far, all of the things I've tried to grow in it have been successful.
Nice. I'm interested to hear, how have mushrooms in general, I guess across the board, how have they helped you in your life, or what kind of like insight have you gotten from the fungus?
Gosh.
Loaded question.
I mean, mushrooms changed my life.
Yeah.
Completely. I don't really know where I'd be without getting into mycology right now. You know, I was doing construction estimating before taking on Fungstrate as a full-time job. You know, first time I've ever, like, I took mushrooms was when I was a teenager, and I had a crazy time. It was a wonderful time, and ever since then, you know, I mean, you take a little dose, learn a little lesson kind of deal, you know. But I mean, it's changed everything, like full circle, I guess, or full cycle. I don't even know how to explain it. It's taken me to places, got flown out to Oregon to, you know, do consulting for people. I've got to go to the different conferences and just meet a bunch of people who are just friends, but we've always been friends. And now we're in a position where people are, you know, inspired by us and have our little fan bases. I don't know if I'd have any of that without, you know, mycology. Just being able to help people, you know, getting messages of somebody asking a simple question, then a few months down the line, they message you again, saying that you changed, you know, that I changed their life by answering a small question that helped them successfully get their first grow done. It's changed my life, and it's still continuing to change my life. That's just, I don't even know. I could have a whole podcast on that alone.
Speaking of a podcast by you, I hear that you're starting a podcast.
I am going to start a little podcast. So my idea is call it the Fung Cast.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just want to have people who, that have inspired me or inspire the community, you know, including yourself. If you would, if you'd like to be on it.
I'd be honored.
And, you know, yeah, I just kind of want to get a little one-on-one time with some people, just talking about their life, talking about what they're doing, where they want to go. And, you know, it kind of give the community a little personal connection with some of the people of the community that they're fans of, you know, learn something that they may not know about them, or just see what it's like outside of the lab, without the gloves and the lab coat, you know, while also talking about stuff in the mycology community that is affecting us and everybody and how we can move forward. It's going to be one big no plan jam, and just want to just talk with my friends and be able to show them a little personal side of our lives as best as I can, and as much as anybody that, as much as somebody wants to share as well.
I'm excited for that. I will definitely be tuning into that. And again, I would be honored to be on the show as well. I'm really interested in that aspect too, of like what everybody does outside of their work, and for instance, like I know, if I'm not mistaken, I think you're an avid skydiver, or at least you have some experience in that. Am I right?
Yeah. I do skydive. I'm still fairly new. It was last year, November 13th. So this November was my first year in the sport.
Wow.
Got something like 191 jumps last year.
Wow.
So that's just something I really enjoy doing. It's kind of helped me break through walls as far as confidence in my entire life, because I'm terrified of heights. Still to this day, I am, afraid of heights. However, there's something about skydiving that I feel, comfortable with at 13,300 feet, standing in front of an open door in a plane. It's just fun. It's fun to do. I'd honestly recommend anybody trying it at least once in their life. Just, it's life changing as well. Skydive, I like to forage. I've been honestly trying to learn how to wild forage, right? I feel like you could be in mycology as like what we're doing as far as, teaching people how to cultivate, supplying cultivation supplies, etc., and still not necessarily know how to properly forage. You could have a good idea of how to do it, but as far as learning the plants, the edibles, what you can, of your local area, that just takes time walking through the woods and picking things off the ground. So I like to say I enjoy foraging, but I'm still very much a beginner as far as that aspect is concerned. And, always walk with caution when eating anything that you pick from the wild, mm-hmm. even if you're confident in what it is. Mm-hmm. Because there's so many different kinds of false mushrooms and look-alike plants. Nobody got time to eat poison ivy on accident.
Right. So out there in Florida, man, everything kind of just grows year round. What's the extent of trying to get into foraging? Have you found any good stuff out there?
So far I found two different kinds of chanterelles.
Wow.
I found a golden chanterelle. And I think it was a golden chanterelle, and it was a yellow one. It kind of from pines. I think that's the Sibiaris, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. Pretty much other than that, I've been able to find some ringless honey mushrooms. Still kind of learning about all the plants, the local plants as well. So I feel like I've seen a bunch of that. However, just don't really know it very well. I don't really go forage to forage. I just kind of go walk through the woods and then happen to find, a mushroom or a plant that looks pretty interesting. And then I just kind of start researching that to see what it is I found, if it has any medicinal value, edible value, so on and so forth. I'm trying to actually cultivate some chanterelles as we speak.
Epic.
But I thought I found a pin on an agar dish, and I asked a couple other people if they thought it was a pin, and a lot of people were saying it could possibly be a pin. So I did some transfers, threw some in the grain bags, and now we're just kind of waiting for colonization and to see if the mycelium grows the same way from the transfer dishes. You know, no guarantees on anything, but just kind of having fun with it, you know. It'd be cool to really be able to cultivate chanterelles, because I know all the time that I've been doing mycology, I haven't really seen an indoor grow of that species yet.
Well, that's some scientific exploration, if you ask me.
Yeah, for sure. I guess I kind of forgot to talk about that.
Yeah. Well, that's great. So you're learning your local ecology, you're working pretty much, I'm guessing, if it's anything like me, every single day of the week in some shape or form. I guess taking like a snapshot into your, like a peek into your business, what are some of your like daily hurdles? Like, what are some of the things that you face every day with your business and providing product for people?
I'd say some of the hurdles, I don't even know. It's kind of a pain, like, to make the grains, you know. I feel like to do the whole entire process is a pain in the butt. If anybody's ever made grains, you totally understand that it's just like, you gotta soak them overnight. Well, I mean, there's so many different techs, right? And a lot of people use different techs, but as far as how I make them, I do the 24-hour soak, the simmer, you know, the drying process, and the whole shebang. And to do that at a large scale is even more of a pain in the butt. So just, you know, kind of making some of the product, like figuring out how to scale to what my customers need. And yeah, like you said, like, I'm always working. So it's, if I'm not doing that, I'm trying to figure out how to like make my website easier to navigate through, or trying to come up with ideas to do, you know, more content. And I just don't feel like sometimes I have enough, you know, time and hands, right? Like, content in itself is a whole job, I could imagine. So it's like, you know, I'm ready to do it. However, it's just going to be, for the most part, I think with mycology in general, the largest hurdle for me that it's always been is just kind of time management, you know, doing all these things while also being able to do things in the middle, like pour in agar dishes. It takes like a few hours to do with, like, you know, getting all your agar ready, pressure cooking it, letting it cool down, doing the pouring the plates. And it's like, while you're doing all that stuff, you could be using that time to do other things. So it's like when I had my first job, they said, if you got, you know, time to lean, you got time to clean.
That's right.
So.
Yeah. I'd imagine your hands are full every day. Do you have help from any friends, or do you have any like employees or anything like that? Or is it just a one man show?
Nope. Just a one man show. Every now and then I'll get some help from a friend if they, you know, if they have some time. I do have a newsletter guy, Denison Cultivations. So he deals with my newsletter, and he's an awesome person. Does really well with sending out the emails and stuff, and is just a way better writer than I am. So we kind of work together as far as the newsletter, and I do have like an affiliate program. So I have a few people out there just kind of, you know, they have like a little discount code, they're advertising the company. But as far as anything you see on the Instagram, it's all me. Any post, any story, and then also pretty much all the work, including all the experimentation as well, It's just all me. If I'm not doing one thing, I'm doing another. And I just, you know, maybe get like an hour at night to play some RuneScape or something if I'm lucky.
RuneScape. Oh my gosh, I still have my account. I still do, and it's gone through so many evolutions. Man, that would literally take almost all my time up if I was. I think they just came out with a new update recently where there's like new. What is like if you pay the monthly fee? What is that called? That's like the
like a membership.
Yeah, if you're a member, I heard they added like new, like way more new skills to build and all kinds of cool stuff.
Yeah, I'm a member on RuneScape. I'm not even gonna lie.
Love that, dude. I remember when it was like, still like 3D. Like your all that moved was your character's feet.
Yeah,
like super choppy. Like I remember even back then. I was like a minor smither. And then quickly found out, you know, like you can't do shit if you don't learn battles. You got to learn accuracy, strength, defense. And then it's essentially you're like, at one point you're like, I got to build all of it, you know?
It's like the whole, it's like a life, man. It's like a life outside of life. Like I'll just like hop on for like 30 minutes and like chop some trees down. Then I like get off and go, you know, freaking make some grains and substrate or something, you know? It's a nice little like quick little like break.
Yeah, I hear you. Have you ever, just as a side note, lastly, and everyone's probably like, what the fuck is RuneScape? I know there's probably a couple of people out there who know what it is, but I was like, you know, I'm a RuneScape guy. So were you a part of the last Party Hat? Actually, they're coming out. I think maybe they have another event coming soon, but I've never been able to get one. Have you ever gotten one?
No. They're like, they have like an old school RuneScape now where like it's like back in like 2007 when we were playing back then.
Yeah.
But now they're like plentiful. So you could buy one for like, you know, a couple thousand coins in comparison to like billions of coins.
Wow.
So that's the only time I've ever really gotten one. And it doesn't even feel as good as, you know, now because they're just so, they're so common.
Gotcha. RuneScape for everybody who doesn't know, if you've got a little extra time to kill.
RuneScape, no, that was
like
the, you know.
Yeah, like MMORPG online kind of, you know. So what else do you do in your free time? I'm interested to, like, you know, I wouldn't say like quote self-care, but how do you manage when you're managing your life and your business? What are you doing in the interim to relax, you know? How are you taking care of yourself?
Well, I go to the gym fairly often.
Good.
That in itself is, even though it's like exerting energy, it's also relaxing at the very, like the same time.
Exactly.
And that's just, it's just a good way to clear the mind without having to know, you know, take a microdose or take a macrodose. Nothing wrong with that, but I feel like it's always good to have, you know, different ways of doing that. Recently got back into rock climbing again.
Nice.
So that's going to be taking some time in my life. Realistically, I like to stay as active as possible, but I'm also like arguably like the biggest nerd, quote unquote, as far as like, I am not afraid to get down on some fishing and RuneScape and,
yeah,
you know, going foraging. Realistically, I like to just do things. It's just fun. I recently went skating at the skating rink. They have an adult night on Thursdays in my town. So I went to that, whipped on some quads, and got to shredding, doing like a little shuffling. And honestly, I just like to explore. I'll just explore life as a whole, you know. Totally okay with being like introverted and sleeping, like, you know, or sitting on the couch all day. Mm-hmm. And I'm also just as equally okay with going out and going to an impromptu show like a couple hours away. I'd say music is a big part of my life. Mm-hmm. I listen to music much more than I watch TV or, you know, do anything. I'd say I attribute that to just always being busy and working, that I can take my phone or a speaker with me and be jamming out doing something rather than, you know, putting a show on Netflix. It confines me to a certain area, and I just don't have the time to do that all the time. So when I can, I appreciate it. However, music I can take wherever, listen to it whenever, for the most part. I like to explore the avenues of life.
Love that. What are some of your favorite, music genres? Do you listen to a little bit of everything?
I'd say I listen to a little bit of everything, except really country. You know,
Agreed.
There's like a couple of country songs that I enjoy. I wouldn't say they're like, it's just not something I listen to. You know, I wouldn't say it's bad. It's just not my vibe. I like a lot of EDM music personally, a lot of electronic stuff. If it doesn't have lyrics, like, I love it. Rap, you know, I've gone through like all of the phases in life. Every phase, it was not a phase, it's not a phase, mom. I guess like indie rock, rap, oldies. You know, sometimes I'm feeling Otis Redding, sometimes I want to listen to Skrillex, sometimes I'm listening to, you know, the Lumineers, Bullet for My Valentine. It's like anything and everything for the most part. I think I'd like to say every genre has at least one good song, even if you're not a fan of the genre.
Kind of whatever makes you feel good. Makes sense. I'm kind of similar in that way too, you know? So I'm interested, kind of going back to mycology, obviously you've been in the industry, you know, at least a part of it, and providing product to folks here for a couple years now. What kind of like changes have you seen, and where would you say you can see it going in the next, you know, let's just say like 5 years and or maybe on?
Wow. Well, as far as changes go, the hobby, you know, or I say hobby, you could say science, as a whole has just grown substantially. I'd say in every aspect of that, as far as people coming in, you know, as a hobbyist, people coming in as businesses, it's taken off. I guess with some decriminalization happening and people feeling a little more confident to be able to do some grows or do kind of, you know, certain kind of grows, more and more people are getting into that. Also with people just, you know, mental health, and a lot of people, it seemed like, are just kind of on their last straw. And they grew, you know, they wanted to grow mushrooms, and I've seen that, like, it's super common. Where do I see it going? I mean, I feel like it's only up from here. I've noticed that, like, you know, a lot of even like the cannabis industry and all of that stuff is coming into the mycology aspect of things. And I think, you know, that's going to happen no matter what. More and more businesses, more and more, you know, people are going to get into this. I mean, in 5 years, who knows, right? As far as this whole entire process goes for like the decriminalization and the legalization, it's happening way faster than it happened with cannabis. As far as like those two things are concerned, right? I feel like cannabis was like the intro to like kind of maybe changing what used to be seen as something as bad as heroin is now, you know, a openly used medicine by, you know, arguably every aspect of life. And I think with that, it gave the confidence and also just the experience for some, you know, whoever's making the laws to do that, but with, I guess, you know, mushrooms and, you know, psychedelics, so to speak. If you notice, there's a lot of people starting businesses, starting up, like, you know, a lot of famous people starting up, you know, caps and stuff like that, where they're selling a mushroom based, like nutrient, or like, you know, the capsules. And I think as soon as the legalization process happens, they're just going to then integrate maybe psilocybin into that. So you can see everybody ramping up for the future.
Yep.
Where is it going to go in the future? I don't know. How long is it going to take? I'm not too sure. I'm kind of, you know, just like everybody else, I'm just riding the wave for the most part, and helping people as best as I can as we, you know, as we all shred the gnar.
Yeah, man. Exactly. Do you see yourself continuing to do what you're doing and to possibly like scaling into a larger facility and providing more product? Yeah. What does that look like for you?
I can't even imagine working in like a 9-to-5 anymore after doing this for so long.
Yeah.
And I kind of refuse to. It's, you know, the lack of freedom is, that's big for me. And this business has given me the, you know, access to live my life how I want to. It's not always fun and games, and I'm not always playing, but the fact that I don't have to, you know, I can just take a vacation, go to like the conference for a couple of days. I say take a vacation like I've taken a vacation. I've been working so hard, I don't even get time to vacate anywhere except, you know, but I guess just having the ability to do that. I want to take this to the grave, you know, that's my goal. If I can do this as long as I can and help people as much as I can in the time that I have here, that's the main goal.
Speaking of conference, I got to see you at the Oklahoma Mushroom Festival. That was super fun. How did you enjoy that?
That was super cool. I really enjoyed it. It was nice seeing all of you guys and meeting all of you guys, you know, a lot for the first time. It was nice meeting you for the first time and many, many others. But it was also nice because I wasn't working the event, you know, so I just came as just, you know, Jason from Fung Street, and either you knew who I was or you didn't. So it was cool to be able to like be part of this community, you know, as like somebody who would, I could easily have gotten a table and, you know, done the whole thing. But also it was nice to like just see it for what it was, you know, as a guest of the event. You know, I did get a little VIP pass, and, you know, just thanks to Jacob from, you know, Oklahoma Fungi. But it was just cool to be able to like be part of it, see all my friends, see you guys do, you know, shine in your light, right? Being part, like watching your talk at the conference was cool. And just seeing other people is, we've all spoken to each other for how many years at this point, right? It's like, you know, some of us, like we've learned stuff together throughout the years that it's kind of like even, it's hard to even think about sometimes, like how much that we've all learned together, yet we finally met for the first time, you know, like what, 3 or 4 months ago? And I never even saw any of your faces until maybe, you know, like 8 months to a year.
Yep.
So it's like we built a friendship based off of literally learning how to grow mushrooms. Like it's so, like pretty much solely based off of learning how to grow mushrooms, as well as like whatever we've shared with each other in, you know, privacy.
Right.
So that was like cool. The event was awesome, and it was awesome to just meet everybody for the first time, get those big hugs in, you know?
I went just as me essentially too. I did speak, but not having a table was nice. It was cool to be able to just to go to everybody and chat and also see like what's available. And there's just like so many products and people promoting them. And it's really exciting to see, because like when we first started, you know, we had to find our way, and that was through like Shroomery, Reddit, you know, maybe even some Facebook groups. There were a few videos online as well. And now there's just so many outlets and there's so much information too. I have a question. So what would be some like your like most important tips you could give the average or like new customer or average newbie in the space? You know, whether that's with your products or just in general in mycology.
I'd say number one all time piece of advice I could give somebody is do not rush the process.
Yeah.
Don't cut corners, you know. I feel like if you're coming into mycology now, you have access to a lot of really good information where, you know, the videos you're watching are from people who have thought about those questions that you're asking, thought about, you know, maybe not doing this step. They've done everything, and they've posted this video as a like guide to do it properly. It's not like this is my first time ever posting a video and I'm still, you know, we're obviously still learning, but we've mastered our art in a specific way. Right.
Right.
So exactly. Yeah, like don't rush the process. Don't cut the corners. And, you know, I really want to say this, it's because a lot of people stress it. And while it can be rocket science, it's not, you know, you don't need a flow hood. While it's like, you kind of like, I don't see myself ever not doing, you know, work without a flow hood, but I did work without a flow hood for like 2 years before I got one. And, you know, I was working in a stale air box, lighting my arm on fire because I like lit the lighter and my arms were covered in alcohol. Like, you know, like it doesn't have to be rocket science. Don't stress yourself out about it. Like have fun and enjoy the process. You know, get it. If you're doing it, do it to just grow, because you're going to get contamination no matter what. Even if you learn today and, you know, they're subscribed to your Patreon where, you know, you teach people how to do all of the things, you know, or some of the other teachers out there as well. Like you could be spoon fed information, but it's, you know, we still get contamination. So you're guaranteed going to get it. And don't let that stop you from doing mycology. You know, so like and I want to also stress just having fun, enjoying it, you know.
Yep.
You know how many times, like, you know how many pounds of grains I've thrown away just trying to like make grain bags, and you know, it's really fun getting the whole entire process done, then you like pressure cook it, doing the whole shebang. You don't realize your fan's on, you're sealing bags. Next thing you know, you got 50 bags that are growing mold 2 days later, and you got cultures ready to go for 5 days already. It's like, don't stress out about it. It'll be fine, you know?
Yeah, taking your time. Yep.
Taking your time, man. Exactly. Taking your time, just doing it. Just, I don't know. It doesn't have to always be lab coats and flow hoods. While it does make it easier, it's, you know, I worked out of a bathroom doing like open air transfers, learning how to like do transfers from like little ketchup cup agar dishes. Like, you know, we all started there.
Yep.
And I feel like a lot of people forget about that sometimes.
Shit, man, you're right. Yeah, I remember doing my own open air experiments, and you know, like out of like 10 plates, maybe like four, sometimes five of them would get contamination, but like the other five were good, you know? So there's like some successes. You have to focus on the successes and how you got those done versus like, man, half of these are fucking trash. Doesn't mean half your process is trash. Just sometimes, yeah, it just takes a little different angle. And every time you fail, I think the coolest thing about failure, for a long time, I ran away from it, but that also like really stunted me. So essentially learning from the failure, it's like, that's like the best way to learn, in my opinion. And yeah, like the 50 bags of grain, all moldy, like sometimes it happens, man, you know, and, but you learn from those experiences and you go, fuck, how can I not do that again? So that's a quick, you know, quick way to learn, right?
Yeah, for sure. You know, gotta learn from failure. Excuse me.
So,
like, you know, I've grown, I don't even know. I remember first when I tried learning how to pour plates. I went through, like, I was buying the singles on Amazon that were like 10 packs of singles for like $20. I went through like at least 100 of them. And I think I had like five dishes that didn't contaminate. Mm-hmm. Then I realized I had like what I thought was an air purifier. It was actually a fan just blowing around dust in this little closet, like cubby that I was working in.
Yep.
But then it's like so satisfying when you realize that all you had to do was turn off that fan.
Yep.
Instead of dwelling on the 95 plates that didn't work out.
Humble beginnings, man. That's amazing. It's good to hear. So as we kind of like semi come to a close here, I guess I have a couple questions for you. I always ask everybody about the same two questions. And that is, what are some of your core tenets or beliefs that you run with in your life, and what kind of a message do you have, and how, like, and what are you trying to spread?
Well, you know, I'd say core tenets in life, I just try to be nice to people. You know, I feel you don't really know what's going on in anybody's everyday life, whether it be an Instagram influencer that you see every day in their stories, or, you know, or just like your grumpy coworker, then you don't really know what's going on in anybody's life, in anybody's mind, you know? So for the most part, you know, I understand that people have their days, and, you know, it's impossible to be happy every day and, you know, doing all being positive. Sometimes it's easy to get down, but yeah, you know, try to be nice to people. And, you know, I would say don't do any of the extreme, don't hurt people either. Right. Mm-hmm. I try to live a pretty simple life, man. Just trying to like help people do something that I've learned, you know, and also want people to like share that, you know, share, like, it's like, it's simple as like smiling at someone at like the coffee shop in the morning. You don't know what that butterfly effect will lead to, you know, possibly changing their whole entire day because of like a quick little, how you doing? And I think, with the times, it's kind of hard to like speak, you know, sometimes it's hard to like speak to just a random person, you know, just because you don't know what's going on. But a lot of the times, like, I kind of just do it because I don't know. I will say like hello to a random person at the grocery store or like the gas station, just because I guess I don't have that like, that limit per se, right? Like, what's the worst that's gonna happen? They just keep on keeping on, you know? So I'd say just like try to be kind and don't hurt your friends, your family, your loved ones, really anybody. Try to spread the love, spread the knowledge. Have fun. Our story's short, you know, so you might as well enjoy it the best that you can.
Agreed. Have fun. That seems to be something that's like cascading in your energy or just your content. And I really feel I need to do the same. So I will definitely take that with me for the rest, at least the rest of the day. Maybe I'll try to wake up tomorrow and say, how can I have fun today? I think that's important. And yeah, I agree. The butterfly effect. I mean, literally, you literally could change someone's day, but that day could also mean changing their entire life. Give them a positive outlook and make them go do that thing they've always wanted to do. And then all of a sudden they have a business and they're helping people. It's like small things. So ITLT, it's the little things. I love that. All right, my friend, my last question for you that I ask everybody on the show, and this is an interpret as you may, and you can also answer it long form, short form, however it comes to your mind. And that is, in what ways in your daily life, how are you, whether that's practices, mantras, whatever, how are you growing in mind, body, spirit, and mushroom?
I am, I'm growing in mind, body, spirit, and mushroom in many ways. You know, with my body, I'm staying active, you know, keeping it moving. I don't need to be like a professional bodybuilder, but I want to be healthy. In my mind, I'm doing the best I can to just continue growing, like mentally, you know, arguably spiritually as well. Just, I like to like even connect those two, because, you know, when you grow spiritually, I think it'll help you grow, like learn lessons mentally and vice versa.
True.
So kind of just trying to just better myself a little bit every day, whether that be, you know, and it doesn't have to be anything like crazy, just adjusting the couch cushions before you leave the house, you know, just trying to, you know, stay productive, I guess, right? And in mushroom, well, I'm building Feng Shui, trying to support this, you know, support this community with cultivation supplies of my, you know, my, I guess, degree, right? Or my quality, and trying to teach people how to do this. It's not about just, you know, selling the mushrooms, right? Like, it's about, you know, teaching people how to fish rather than giving them a fish. You know, I just, at the end of the day, I want people to be able to do this for a long time. And then I don't want it to be limited to just a few big name people who are, you know, controlling everything. I want this community as a whole to continue to grow. And I want, you know, people to continue to learn. And through doing that, it's also teaching me lessons in myself for, you know, my mind, my body, my spirit, and my mushroom.
I love it, my friend. Sound words. And I've had such a good time talking with you today. I'm sure everyone's going to love this episode. I guess going forward, if these guys were to use a discount code of Mycotrophic, could they get a discount on their next order?
Absolutely.
That would Absolutely. Be awesome. Yeah, I would love for them to go and support you and try some of your products that I know you work really hard to create, and their quality.
Cool. I'll get that discount code set up tonight.
My dude.
I'll make it under the name Mycotrophic, and you know, maybe do like a 10% code off the order of grains and substrate.
Sounds great, man. That'd be awesome. Jason Quinn of Feng Straight. How can these guys find you? Website, Instagram, how can they get a hold of you and how can they support you?
Well, my Instagram is Fung Straight, F-U-N-G STRATE. My website is fungstrate.com. And through there, my phone number is on my website. The email is fungstrate@gmail.com. So, you know, that would be the three best places to go. I'm very active on Instagram. So, you know, you'll see me doing a little couple dances on there a few times a week.
Yep.
And I wanted to say that's one way that you could have fun, bro. You know, just do a little jig in the morning. Say when you're like making your toast, just wiggle your toes.
Agreed, man. Totally true. A little jig. Well, I'll be following your story as always and looking for the jigs and the happy vibes. And also, you guys, make sure to follow his page closely. He's going to be starting a podcast here, which I will be supporting, and I hope you guys can go and subscribe and leave some 5-star reviews on his podcast as well. And if you guys enjoyed this episode, make sure to give it a 5-star positive rating wherever you're listening, whether it be Spotify or iTunes or YouTube. And yeah, much love. Namaste. Don't contemplate. Meditate. And we will see you guys on the next one. Thanks, Jason. Have a good night, man. Talk to you later.
Thanks for having me, bud. See you later.
Peace.
Peace.